bless you.
Sounds like I'm on. Scared me. Well, Brother White called me this afternoon and between coughs, asked me if I could fill in tonight. So I'm going to try. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 16. I know what day's coming up, but I'm not dealing with that tonight. I think everybody knows Christmas is coming. I don't have to tell you. But in Matthew 16, and I'm going to find it in my Bible while you're finding it in yours. There's two great questions everybody has to get settled in life. One of them is, where is the Word of God? And the other one is, who is the Word of God? And so that's what we're going to deal with tonight. In Matthew 16, verse 13, he says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. They were wrong about that one. Some Elias, they were wrong about that one. Others, Jeremiah, they kept getting wrong, or one of the prophets. But then he nailed it down to this. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? It's okay to ask what the world thinks about him, but he wants to know what you and I think about him and who he is. Well, you know how Simon Peter answered, verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he is. But then where is the Word of God? That's the question that a lot of folks, I believe everybody here has got that settled. I don't think anybody showed up tonight thinking the NIV was it, or the NASV, or the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation's it. I think everybody here is settled on the King James Bible is the Word of God. Now, if you're not settled on that, you need to get settled on it. Because if you don't get settled on that, you won't know who Jesus Christ is. Because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we need to get that settled. God cannot lie. He can't. And he promises in Psalm 12 that he would preserve his words forever. And he has. Now, I believe in our hands tonight, we have the very words of the living God. That's it right here. It's not me, it's this. And so we can trust this to tell us who Jesus Christ is. And there's a lot of confusion on that. Some think he's a prophet. And he was. But much more than a prophet. Some think he was a great teacher, and he is. But he's much more than a great teacher. Some think he's this, that, or the other. But you know who he is? He's God. He is God. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 25. I told Brother Wack I would keep this to 20 minutes, and I'm going to try. Sometimes you get a preacher up and he forgets, but I'm not going to do that. I am a missionary, and so I've been in places where I had to do it in 5 minutes, so I could probably handle this in 20 minutes. But Acts chapter 2, verse 25, it says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of men with thy countenance. And so Peter stops and says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now, why would the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ even go to hell? Because he had in his soul all of our sin, all of our shame, and all of our guilt, and he took it to hell. 3 days and three nights, and 3 days later he rose from the dead and left it there. So when a sinner comes to Jesus Christ for salvation, those chains of sin and shame and guilt are gone. I remember the night I got saved back in 1982. He had drawn me in. He had showed me again and again I needed to get saved, and I just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And finally, the last Sunday night, January of 1982, I was in church like you are tonight, and the Spirit of God was so heavy on me and so showing me just how lost I was and how bound I was in all that mess I was in, and said, tonight's the night. He told me, you're going to hell tonight, or get saved. I got home, went in my bedroom, and called on the Lord, and came out a new man. Amen. Just like that. My sin was gone. My shame was gone. My guilt was gone. I was a free man. So that's why his soul went to hell. But it says in that verse 2, his flesh didn't see corruption. The Bible says that he was in the likeness of our flesh. See, people get confused about that. There's a man in a jail down in Pike County in Troy, where I go and preach on Mondays, that was telling everybody there that Jesus Christ had the same flesh as we did, and so therefore he wasn't God. Well, if he had the same flesh as I do, he isn't. Because my flesh is full of sin. In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I mean, it's just rotten. I was talking to Brother Danny before the service. If you have nothing but religion, it makes you feel good about yourself. It does. If all you have is religion, I've talked to folks, that's all they have, and they tell me how good they are. At the Dallas County Jail in Selma, one night we were there. I go there on Wednesday nights, and there was a lawyer in there, and he wanted to talk to us. He came out, and I asked him at one point, are you going to heaven when you die? He said, yes. I said, well, how do you know? He says, well, I've done a lot of good deeds. I've taught Sunday school for years. And I gave him one verse. I said, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And he got mad and left. Well, men make the Bible say whatever they want it to. I don't. It says what it wants to say. I don't have to make it say anything. But like we started with there in John 1, I mentioned it, that he became flesh there. The Word became flesh, it says. And we know that. And so the Word was made flesh. But turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And verse 10. Matthew 4 and verse 10. Lord Jesus Christ answering Satan himself here. He says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So if anybody in this Bible takes worship, it must be God. Amen? Angels of God will not let you worship them. Now, Satan's angels would. They like worship. But the angels of God would get you up. All through the Bible, you'll see that. Men of God will not let anybody worship them. Now, there are men who will let you worship them, but men of God won't. They would not. They'd tell you to get up. Paul and Silas, they were some in a place where the people thought they were gods and started to sacrifice for them, and they said they did all they could to restrain them because they knew what would happen if they let them do that. There's one in your Bible, a king, that let them do that, and God took him out that very night. So we know that, but turn to Matthew 8 and verse 2. Matthew 8 and verse 2. Word of God says there, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And you can read that whole chapter, and you'll not find any place in there where Jesus Christ said, "Get up, don't worship me." And he had just mentioned and told everybody that you don't worship anybody but God. So he knew who he was, even if some people didn't, and then some people still don't. He knows, and I know. A leper worshipped him. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. It says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." And so there you have a ruler that worships him, but he doesn't say don't do that. In fact, folks, I think we ought to worship him. Daily. You go on through there, he does that. He knows that. But turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 29. John chapter 8, verse 29, he says a very curious thing here. He says, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." There's not a person in here, including me, could say that honestly. None of us could say, "I do always those things that please the Lord." None of us. But He did. And He didn't say, "I did always do it." He says, "I do always do it." So where in the world could he sin? If he's always doing what pleases the Father, where in the world could he sin? The only sin my Lord ever knew was ours. The Bible says he became sin for us. He became our sin on the cross. Until then, he knew no sin. Until then, he knew no sin. But how can he comfort a murderer if he never murdered? Because he took that murderer's sin in his own body on the cross. How can he comfort an adulterer if he never committed adultery? Which he didn't, because he took that in himself on the cross. That's how he can comfort us in any sin, because he took it all in him on the cross. Not because he came close to those sins or even thought about those sins until he got on the cross. There he took it. Turn to John 14. John 14. Verse 30. He says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me." The only way he could say that is if he was God manifest in the flesh, which he is. He said, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Again, you and I cannot say that. You and I can say, "Well, he doesn't have anything right now, but what about tomorrow? What about tonight? What about next week?" But the Lord Jesus Christ, every time you approach him, it says the same thing. "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Nothing. So who is he? Well, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. I hope you're settled on this issue. I hope I'm preaching to the choir. I hope everybody in here settled that Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, not only did not sin, he could not sin because of this very verse right here. Verse 16, he says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, had a soul, a spirit, and a body. Had a soul, a spirit, and a body. And yet the Word of God does not say God was manifest in the spirit. Doesn't say God was manifest in the soul. It says God was manifest in the flesh. Why? Because his flesh, though like our flesh, was not the same. His flesh was incorruptible. When he died, for 3 days and three nights, his body lay in a tomb and saw no corruption. You and I, the moment we die, this body starts to corrupt. That's the difference. Now, if he's not your God, your Savior, you need him. And thank God, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, now is accepted time. So any sinner in here tonight, if the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, and he has to, because you and I, before we're saved, the Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sins, may not even know it, headed to a devil's hell, don't know it, but the Spirit of God comes along like he did me, like he did you if you're saved tonight. He came along and woke you up. And when he woke me up, and when he woke you up, if you're saved tonight, the first thing he showed you was yourself, and that was ugly. I mean, dirty ugly. I mean, filthy ugly. That's what I saw. I don't know what you saw when he woke you up, but that's what I saw. But then after that, once I admitted that, he showed me the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he showed me him, things changed. When I could see the Lord Jesus Christ like he is, high and lifted up, then I said, yes, that's the one I need. And he let me trust him. He did. And so tonight, if you need the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to wait for an invitation. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to do anything except call on the Lord from your heart where you are, and he'll save you. Thank God you don't have to come to him. He comes to you just as we are. Thank God we don't have to get cleaned up for him. We get cleaned up to come to church, but we don't have to get cleaned up for him. Just come as you are. That's the way he takes us. And so tonight, if you need him, you come. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we see these things in the Word of God. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, that when we come here, even though we're not members, it's a home. It's our home here in North Carolina. This is our home church. We thank you for that, dear Lord. But Lord, I pray tonight, if somebody here tonight's unsaved, headed to a devil's hell, here with no hope and without God in the world, Lord, I pray that somehow the Spirit of God would reach in that heart and show them just how lost and wicked they are and help them, dear Lord, to call on you, the only one that can save a sinner. The only one that will come to a wicked world like this and die for us. So, Lord, help that sinner in here tonight that's never trusted you to do so, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.